Acts chapter number 2. Thank you for turning there. If you would like to borrow a visitor's Bible this morning, we have plenty to borrow. If you just would like to put your hand up nice and high, one of our ushers would be glad to bring you one. Thank you, Brother Andy. I'd like everyone to have a look at these verses this morning. It's the Word of God that we need to be attentive to. Acts chapter number 2. And by God's grace, this year we are going to study through this wonderful book. And we are up to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Acts chapter number 2, verses 41 to 47. Please look with me there as I read out loud. Beginning in verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's commit our time in his word to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter who has come. Thank you, Lord, that he is willing and able to lead us into all truth this morning. Father, may he be our teacher, we pray. Lord, there are many counsels in our heart, but it is the Lord, the word of the Lord that shall stand. Father, we pray that we would lay aside our own thoughts, our own cares, our own preferences, and that we would look to your word afresh once again to allow you, O God, to teach us and lead us into the way which we should go. And Father, we need your help in this day. Lord, we need your help to be all that we can be. For the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Lord, help us to be all that we can be so that we may win a soul to thee. Lord, we ask that if there is anyone present who is yet to receive Christ as their personal Saviour, is yet to be born again by the Spirit of God, Lord, we pray that you would speak, that the gospel would go forth with power, and that, Lord, that you would seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for your willingness to speak to us. May we be attentive and may we be doers of your word and not hearers only, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, as we begin our study in Acts chapter 2, halfway down, we read about the growing church in Jerusalem. Now, would you agree with me that this was a church that was alive? This was a living church. Now, when you and I think about living things, something that is alive, what do we think of? Well, there are four main areas that I'm sure you would agree with that something that is living must have. First of all, living things are made up of living parts. Would you agree? Living things are made up of living parts. If the cells are dead, then that object or that thing is dead also. Living things are made up of living parts. Now, they need food, would you agree, to grow. And if something is alive, they need food, and then it will grow, and then it will give evidence of growth and reproduction. It will produce. Living things are made up of these parts. these essential characteristics. And in the Bible, the local New Testament church is described as a living organism. Now, when you and I use the word church, what do we use the word for most often? The building. The building. But actually, in the Word of God, God uses the church, the word church, to describe the people, the assembly, the local church body of believers. And the church, my friend, is not a building. Would you agree? Now, we're thankful for the building we meet in, but that is not the church. The church is the body of believers. Believers that are gathered together for a specific purpose, called out by the Lord, as we read of in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. You see, the health of the church body is determined by the health of the parts. And here in Acts chapter number 2, the verses we read today describe a local church, my friends, that was alive. This church was growing. This church had a red hot passion for souls, and they had a fervency about Christ, and they were reproducing. Notice in Acts chapter number 2, at the end of verse 47, the Bible says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." My friends, what a wonderful example of what a church ought to be. This is first century Christianity. Now, in a day when churches are looking for all sorts of new ways to be a church, God is not looking for that sort of thing. The church is looking for better ways to do church. But God is looking for better churches to serve Him. And when we come to the Word of God, we are given a model, an example of what a local New Testament church ought to be. If you've ever read these passages before, I'm sure God has impressed on your heart that this is a church that's alive. This is a church that is growing. This church was used by the Lord to impact the world. And as we study these verses, God gives us some certain marks of what a healthy church looks like. And the question that we should ask ourselves this morning here at Coastline Baptist Church, are we a church that is healthy or are we unhealthy? Are we alive and growing and reproducing or are we dying? Notice with me quickly in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 3. Acts chapter 2, we read of a living church. Revelation chapter 3, we read of a dying church. Revelation chapter 3. Thank you for turning there. We'll be back in Acts 2 in a moment. Revelation chapter 3. A number of letters were written to local churches in the day that John received the revelation of God. And notice what the Bible says in verse 1. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and seven stars." Notice what he says to this church, the Lord's assessment of the church in Sardis. "I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." You see, this was a church with a reputation. This was a church that maybe had an impressive facility. Maybe it had a lot of people. Maybe there were a lot of bodies within that building. Maybe they were well known within the city that they dwelt in. But when the Lord looked down at the church spiritually, he said, "Thou art dead." Verse number 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." And beloved, if we are going to be a church that not only is alive, but will be alive in the next 10 years and will be alive for our children's children, if the Lord tarries and sees our children come to Christ and brings in more souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand what God has in plan for the New Testament church. How many of you here this morning would desire that we would be here in the next 10 years? Even if you don't raise your hand, I'm sure you would agree. My children will be teenagers in the next 10 years. Parents, some of your children will be young adults in the next 10 years. Where are they going to come to hear the gospel? Where are they going to come to find friends who are saved? Where are they going to come to serve and to reach out to their friends from? I hope I don't need to convince you this morning that we want this church, Coastline Baptist Church, to be alive. Amen? 10th anniversary is this year. And we praise God for what He has done, what He is doing. But what about the next 10 years? As we come to Acts chapter 2, we find some marks of a healthy church. So let's look at these verses together as we turn back to Acts chapter number 2. Let's look at the marks of a healthy church, and let's be open in our hearts to what God wants us to be and what He wants us to do this morning. Now, I guarantee you there is something in the Word of God for each of us today. Do you believe that? There is something from the Word of God. Now, I cannot tell what's for you. You cannot tell what's for me. But God, who knows the hearts and can see the hearts, just like in Sardis, He knows what we need. Acts chapter number 2, we are looking at the marks of a healthy church. Notice first of all, in verse number 41, the Bible tells us that a healthy church is marked by a healthy body. By a healthy body. You see, anything that is living, first of all, must be alive. Would you agree? Anything that is living must be alive. And it must be made up of living parts. And this church was healthy because it was marked by a healthy body. Notice verse number 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received His word. Now let's stop there. The Bible tells us that these people that gathered in this church at Jerusalem were not any ordinary people. Now you can have a lot of bodies in the church, but that does not mean that the church is alive. These were ones that had, notice, gladly received His word. Well, what is that word? What is the word that they received? Well, I'm glad you asked. Please turn with me to Acts chapter number 2. Back to the beginning of the chapter. Acts chapter 2. In verse number 22, Peter, filled with the Spirit of God, stands up and he preaches the word of God to the thousands that are gathered before him. In fact, there could have been millions there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. We know that 3,000 gladly received his word. And under the sound of his voice, the Bible tells us there were some listeners. There were people listening in as Peter preached the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at these verses last Sunday. I won't labor over them again. But notice, what kind of words did these ones believe in and receive? Well, in verse 22, the Apostle Peter described the person of Christ. He described that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders of signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. You see, he described the person of Christ. My friends, Jesus was not just a man from Nazareth. The Bible tells us that by his own miracles, he gave evidence that he was the very Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. God come down to this world to take upon him human flesh. And he proved that by the miracles that he performed. When Christ walked on water, he showed he had power over his very creation. When Christ healed the sick, he showed he had power over the body of his very creation. When Christ rose Lazarus from the dead, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ proved himself to be the Son of God by his miracles and by wonders. You see, everyone was in awe as they wondered at the majesty of Christ. Those who did not believe were still in awe. Those who believed came to the Savior. Then the Bible tells us in verse 23 of Acts chapter 2 of the resurrection, of the death of Christ. In verse 23, Peter tells them that the death of Christ was God's plan, God's divine plan of redemption. You see, in God's heart, knowing that mankind will sin, before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us, God came up with a loving plan, a plan that you and I still today marvel at, that God would send His only begotten Son to die on the cross, to purchase our sin, to purchase us back from sin once and for all, to pay the penalty in full. You see, God's plan was redemption, but man's plan was murder. He tells these standing in front of him that it's because of your wickedness that Jesus was nailed on the cross. And friends, it's because of the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, that Christ died once and for all on that old rugged cross. It is our sins that nailed the Son of God to the cross. He declared the death of Christ, not only the person of Christ, the death of Christ, and then notice the resurrection of Christ. Friends, this is the gospel, the death, burial and resurrection of Christ. The Bible tells us in verse number 24, whom God raised up, amen, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Friends, Jesus Christ had a real physical body, a body that could die. But why could he not be holden by the pains of death? Why could those chains of death not hold on the Son of God? Because he is God in the flesh. God rose again from the dead, the Son of God, proving once and for all that the sins of mankind were paid for. And just as Peter said in Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 2, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, these that gladly received his word were not just listeners. It doesn't say that they heard his word. Would you agree? They received it. That means they did what Peter told them to do. If you're still in Acts chapter 2, notice with me. In verse 37, they said, after they heard the gospel, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, what's the next word? Repent. Repent. These were those that gladly received the word of God. They realized that they are wicked sinners in the sight of God, like you and I. They realized they deserve the judgment of God, for he was slain for our sins. They repented of their sin. In their heart, they turned away from their sin. In their heart, they turned away from their rejection of the Messiah. And they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they called upon the name of the Lord and received the gift of eternal life. My faith, eternal forgiveness, once and for all. Friends, this is the gospel. These are those who receive the gospel. And the Bible tells us that it was on that day of Pentecost, that 3,000 listeners became 3,000 believers. They were born again. They received new life in Jesus Christ. Do you remember John chapter number 3? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, we all have experienced at least one birth. Otherwise, we wouldn't be physically alive. But friend, that doesn't mean that we are spiritually alive. These believers were spiritually alive. Why? Because they had received Christ as their Savior. There was a time in their life on that day of Pentecost, they knew when it was, that they repented and they called upon Christ to save them once and for all. And the Bible says on that day, they were born again. They were new believers. They had new life. Spiritually everlasting life. They had a new purpose in life. And they had a new Saviour. Their wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, a healthy body is made up of the parts of that body. And those parts must be first be made alive. Friend, you and I cannot come alive spiritually. It is impossible. Only the Lord can give us a new heart. Only the Lord can put a new spirit within us. All you and I can do, as we've sung already this morning, is to look to Jesus Christ for salvation and live. The only thing you and I can do is throw ourselves on the mercies of God and repent of our sins and receive his payment that is already being made on our behalf. Let me ask you this morning, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice, as these ones were sitting under the sound of Peter's voice at Pentecost, have you personally gladly received his word? Has there been a time that you knew changed your soul forever? Has there been a time that you called upon the name of the Lord and experienced His eternal gift of salvation. My friends, that is the gospel. You see, the gospel means good news. As a young person, I was raised as a Catholic, and I wasn't told the good news. I was told some different kind of news. I was told that Jesus opened the floodgates to heaven, but it's up to us to work our way by good works in order to get in through the doors. And once you've done as much as you can on this side of eternity, you can never know whether it's enough. And only when you die, that's when you'll know. Friends, what kind of good news is that? Religions tell us that we need to work our way in order to earn our way to heaven. But do you realize the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God says whoever boasts in their good works, thinking that that is the means of getting to heaven, is in fact insulting God even more than their own sins have broken His heart. Friends, the gift of God is eternal life. That is why Christ died on the cross. That is the love that's described to us in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, very carefully listen, should not perish. That's a promise of God. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ Himself said, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And I assure you this morning, 3,000 believers on this day of Pentecost are in eternity right now, rejoicing at the feet of the Son of God. They have not perished. Why? Because they trusted in the risen Christ. They believed in Him. They received the Word of God, and they became children of God on that day. But what about you this morning? Are you yet to put your full faith in Christ alone for salvation? Is this the first time you heard that it's only in Jesus' atonement on the cross, only through His payment, you can be saved? Perhaps it is. But my friend, the good news is, just like these believers, there is no time. There is no reason to hesitate. There is no reason to delay any further. If the gospel is good news today, then just like these ones listening in, you can receive Christ. You can believe on Him, the one who loved you so greatly. You see, a church is not just made up of bodies. Would you agree this morning that there are a lot of bodies in churches this Sunday? All over this country, all over the world. There are lots of bodies. Lots of bodies. But bodies are not the focus here. Yes, 3,000 believed, but bodies are not the focus. The fact that they gladly received God's word, that's the focus here. Not the numbers. You see, a healthy church is made up of living parts. And if we have not received Christ as Savior, the Bible says that we are yet dead in our sins and trespasses. We have no spiritual life. We have no eternal hope. But thank God, Jesus Christ still saves today. Are you willing to receive Him today? We'd love to help you if you desire to. We'd love to meet you after the service and take the Word of God simply and plainly and show you how you can receive God's gift of eternal life. Friends, that is good news. That is the most wonderful news. And these believers gladly received His word. Well, they gladly believed. They had a healthy body, a wonderful start. Notice they were gladly baptized. Please look with me in Acts chapter 2. They gladly received His word and were baptized. And were baptized. Now, as I was meditating on these verses, preparing for the message for today, maybe you would have thought the same thought with me. How on earth did these new Christians, these believers, ever get baptized in one day, 3,000, the lot of them? Now, Peter preached in the morning, it was 9 a.m. We know that. They were baptized in a day, 3,000 of them. How did that practically happen? Have you ever wondered that before? Have you ever wondered how it would be practically possible that these ones were baptized? Well, the fact is, as you look at the history of the city of Jerusalem, there were many pools in Jerusalem at that time. Do you remember a pool that's named by the name of Siloam, the pool of Siloam? Then there was the pool of Bethesda, where the Lord miraculously healed that one in need who couldn't carry himself into the pool. Then there were various water ducts in the city. There was the Gihon spring, the only natural spring that fed water into the city of Jerusalem, the upper and the lower Gihon. You see, there was water in and around Jerusalem. So picture it with me for a moment. Here are 3,000 who had repented and received Christ. Now they desired to give evidence of their salvation. And what a wonderful testimony that must have been, that all around the city of Jerusalem, there were baptisms taking place. Wow, can you imagine that with me? What a testimony. What an example. Now let's stop here quickly. That's what baptism is. And Peter, who preached at Pentecost, was led of the Lord, inspired of God, to write in the epistles that he wrote that baptism cannot cleanse the filthiness of the flesh. The waters of baptism cannot wash away our sins. They are a testimony of what Jesus Christ has already done in washing away our sins. You see, as they were baptized all around Jerusalem, they gave evidence on the outside of what Jesus had already done on the inside. Baptism is an outward sign. It's an outward testimony, just like a wedding ring. Now, just because you don't have a wedding ring on doesn't mean you're not married. But a wedding ring shows everyone that there is a marriage. You are married. Amen? That's what baptism is. It's an outward testimony. It's an outward a message. And the only baptism you'll find in the Bible is by immersion. Why? Because of the witness of that picture. When someone in Jerusalem, and think again, 3,000, were placed under water, they pictured in their own physical action that Jesus Christ died for them. And when they received Christ, they became dead to sin. And when he rose again from the dead, and as they come up out of the water, they are picturing physically that they are risen with Christ. They're picturing what Christ did for them on the cross. They're picturing what Christ did at the moment of their salvation. They're picturing what has taken place spiritually in their life already on the outside. And what a wonderful testimony that must have been to everyone that witnessed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I hope I've made it clear this morning. Baptism doesn't wash away our sins. That is a lie. That is not in the Bible. That is not biblical. Only the blood of Christ can wash away our sins. Amen. Once and for all. But the waters of baptism are important because they picture to everyone around us the wonderful message of the gospel. Now let me ask you this morning, if you have repented of your sins and you know Christ as your personal Saviour, have you been baptized? Friends, God says in his word, this is the first step of obedience. They that gladly received his word, they were saved, were then as believers baptized. And we don't see years in between, do we? We don't see any hesitation. Why? Because baptism is a wonderful and joyful way to obey the Lord, to honor God with our faith, and to be a testimony to those around us. You know, it's wonderful when someone gets baptized. It's an encouragement to the living body, isn't it? Absolutely. We're encouraged as a church. But it's also a wonderful opportunity to invite friends, to invite family. You know, you'll be able to give a testimony in front of the church. You'll be able to say some things that maybe family or friends won't naturally listen to when you get together with them. But they'll listen because they're stuck in church. They can't go anywhere. And it's a wonderful blessing to give a testimony, to show forth by your baptism that you love the Lord and that he saved you. And that you want to follow Jesus Christ. You see, these believers, they were certainly alive. What about you this morning? Friend, do you need to be baptized? Young people, some of you that have been saved recently, have you been baptized? Baptism before salvation is just a dip in the pool. That's all it is. Baptism after salvation is biblical. Shows forth the gospel. Baptism. That's what builds a healthy church. Saved, baptized. Notice thirdly, are you still with me? All right, try not to get distracted. It's a little bit breezy this morning. Acts chapter 2. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Friends, without hesitation, without deliberation, without argument, without Peter having to prod these believers with a stick, they were not only willing to be baptized, but they were willing to be added to the church. They were willing to join in this local New Testament church body as members of the church. They were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they united with this local church in Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us in one day, the membership of the church grew from, well, it would have been over 120. We know there were 120 in the upper room. But now, much more than that. And they were added to the church. Saved, baptized, added to the church. Beloved, these are the marks of a healthy body. Of a healthy body. Let me ask the question again. We need to understand the importance of God's word. Do you want this church to exist in the next 10 years? Yes or no? Saved, baptized, added to the church. Friends, church membership is almost like an offensive subject in churches today. And people get offended. Well, God is not offended at his word. Amen. Only we get offended. This is God's expectation for every child of God to be baptized and then added to the local New Testament church. God sets in place the members as he sees fit, and the Lord added daily, in verse 47, to the church such as should be saved. Let me ask you this morning, are you a member of a local Bible-believing church? Are you a member of Coastline Baptist Church? If you're visiting with us this morning, God doesn't expect you to be. But those of you who have come for a while, friend, understand this is God's plan. This is God's purpose for our lives. Church membership is biblical. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Church membership is biblical. You can be a Christian, my friend, without a church, but you can't be an obedient one. Let me say that again. You can be a Christian without a church, but you cannot be an obedient one. Are we alive this morning?
Yep.
Amen. If you are alive in Jesus Christ, we ought to understand God's word and his way. Friend, God has a way and a plan for the church. And this church in the first century is the example for us. If we want to see the blessings of God, well, we need to get in line with God's plan. Amen? How can he bless a church that is not healthy? The church in Sardis was dying. They had a name. They may have had a sign like we do. They may have had a website. Well, they wouldn't have, but people would have known them like they know us. But are we alive? Are we healthy this morning as a church? Well, the Lord rebuked this church in Sardis and he said, I don't want you to die. Strengthen the things that remain. Brethren, what does God want you to strengthen that remain? Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to be added to the church? What is it that God would have you to do? To enable Coastline Baptist Church to be a healthy, living, vibrant church for God. Now, are we still friends this morning? I trust we are. Are we still friends? Now, remember Peter. I'll quickly slip this in. It's not in my notes. Peter was a man who was hot-headed, hot-tempered. He put his foot in his mouth every time he spoke up, almost. Not every time. Almost every time. God had to do a lot of work in his heart. But one thing he learned to receive was rebuke. Not only did Peter receive more praise than any of the other apostles in the Bible, but he received the greatest rebuke from the Lord, did he not? And that's why on Pentecost, God trusted him with the gospel, and he preached and was used in such a mighty way because he learned to take rebuke. Amen. If we can't take the rebuke of being baptized and becoming church members, there is little hope for us here at Coastline Baptist Church. Let me be honest. Friend, church membership is biblical. And by the grace of God, until the Lord comes, we are going to hold to the apostles' doctrine. We are not going to dilly-dally and pretend that God is pleased when God's people are not committed to that which He died for. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And Christ is building His church. So let's strengthen the things that remain. Amen? All right, let's go on. Time is ticking. A healthy church is made up of a healthy body. Secondly, notice, a healthy church is marked by healthy growth. It's not enough to be alive. That which is living must grow, would you agree? Yes. If a plant is alive, well, it needs to be fed. It needs to grow. So how did this young church grow? Well, look with me in verse number 42. Are you still with me this morning?
Yes.
Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice they grew in the word of God. Now, it's not just enough to be saved. God wants us to be baptized, added to the church, and then He wants us to grow within that New Testament local church. And these believers grew and went from strength to strength because notice they continued, what's the next word?
Steadfastly
in the apostles' doctrine. Now, the apostles did not have within their hands the word of God yet. Amen. Within the first 100 years, the word of God was written down and they had the Bible. But at first, it was the apostles' doctrine. Remember, the Lord Jesus said to the apostles that when the Comforter will come, the Spirit of God, He shall bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I have taught you. And as these believers assembled together in the local church at Jerusalem, they sat under the sound of the word of God. Now they sat under the sound of the spoken word. And we have the privilege to sit under the sound of the spoken word from the written word. Back then there were apostles and there were prophets. Those roles, those service ministries passed with the book of Acts and the completion of the word of God. Now we have pastors, teachers and evangelists. Notice with me Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's go quickly to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Notice how God has planned for us to grow in the church by His word. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, if the wind doesn't blow your pages, you'll be there by now. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse number 11. As we've mentioned, He gave some apostles, some prophets, passing roles. Here are the present roles, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, why were these roles of ministry, these gifts, if you will, given to the church, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ? Notice two words in verse 12, edifying and perfecting. If we were to summarize those two words, we would describe them as being words that lend to growth. The word perfect means to equip, to edify. Christian, God's plan is this. Once we are added to the church, where do we grow in the word of God? In the church. Under the preaching and teaching of the apostles' doctrine. The word of God, the faith once given to the saints. We are to grow in the word of God in the church. The perfecting, the furnishing for God's work in the ministry. Notice the word edifying. The word edify means to build up, to build up. Can you see the picture of growth here? Well, what does the Bible say in verse number 13? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Faith, knowledge. The word perfect means to be complete, to be mature. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, putting it very simply, in Ephesians 4, we see the importance of the local church. God says it is within the assembly where the word of God is taught and if it is biblical, that is where we are to grow. That is where, as Christians, if we are saved, we are to be fed. Now, notice the focus is not on the pastor or teacher. You know, the focus wasn't on Peter on that day of Pentecost. They continued in the apostles' what? Doctrine. The focus is on the doctrine. The focus is on the food, the word of God. And if we are alive in Jesus Christ this morning, we ought to be hungry for the word of God. Amen. And God says you need to be in church, to put it simply. Where do we grow? We grow in church. We grow under the sound of the word of God. Yes, we grow when we walk with the Lord. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. We walk with the Lord 7 days a week as Christians. We feed on his word each day. Amen. But in church, we are to be taught and we are to be committed and we are to be there when the assembly gathers. Why? For the growth of the parts of the body. You see, a healthy church is made up of not only a body that's alive, but a body that's growing. Would you agree? Friends, if we are not growing, then we are dying. We cannot lose our salvation. But Sardis was a church that was dying. If we are not committed to the local assembly, to the meeting and the preaching of the word of God, then we are in trouble. And believe it or not, God tells us that right here in Ephesians 4. Now look with me in verse 14. The Bible says, if you grow in the church, if you are steadfast, as these believers in Acts 2, if you are committed to growing under the word of God, verse 14 will be a reality. That we henceforth be no more, what's the next word? Children. Now our children are very cute, but they are immature. They are immature. They are learning, they are growing. They are learning more, in fact, at a frightening rate. And sometimes as parents, we are scared at how fast they learn. And the Lord uses that to humble us, be a good testimony in the home. They grow and they learn. But God doesn't want us to stay as a child. You see, if we are a child, then we remain immature. A child is under the protection of their parents. But once they grow to adulthood, they ought to be able to make decisions, wise decisions, right decisions. And God tells us that he does not want us to be children, immature in the faith. A child lacks understanding. And that's what we will be as Christians if we're not committed to the local New Testament church. And it gets worse. Notice verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. What are the next words? Tossed to and fro. Now, if you've ever gone out on the water here in Cairns on a boat and you've ever experienced a little bit of motion sickness and the waves and the wind has picked up, you'll know what it means to be tossed to and fro. How many of you have ever been seasick before? And you wished you could get off that boat, but you knew there wasn't any other choice. Being tossed to and fro, that's terrible. We understand that. That's the picture that God gives us. If we are not grounded in the word of God, we will be tossed about to and fro. Our Christian lives will be up and then, say it, down. And then up and then down. Now, some of us, that's what our Christian life is like. We come to church once in a blue moon and our life is up because we've received the word of God. Then we're out of church for a while, our life is down. I'm speaking to Christians this morning. Because we are not under the word of God. We are tossed to and fro, the Bible tells us. That's what will happen if we don't heed to the ways of God. Notice next, and it gets worse. God becomes more specific. Tossed and to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Here God is talking about false doctrine. Here God is talking about the leaven, the poison that is in the world today by the slight or deceitfulness of men. Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. My friends, we live in an age of apostasy, do we not? Churches left and right do not believe in the apostles' doctrine. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. They do not believe that Jesus Christ's blood alone was enough to atone for our sins. They do not believe in the faith once given to the saints. They believe in other things. And it's very easy to understand. If you and I aren't continually grounded in the word of God, where God wants us to be, then we will be led astray by very, very cunning craftiness, deceitfulness, and they are waiting to deceive. Friends, we are in a spiritual warfare. If we are to survive the darkness of this day, brethren, we need to get serious about church, God's church, growing in the church. They grew in the Word of God. And if you want to grow in 2017, well, we've got a number of doors that are open. Amen. Just choose one. Come on in. Grow in the Word of God. We're here to grow together. And these ones made up a healthy body because they were growing. They continued steadfastly. What a word. That means committed again and again. And we'll look at these verses when we finish this passage. That they met how often?
Daily.
Daily. So for you and I to think that meeting three times a week is a burden and a baggage, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong with our Christianity. We are not healthy Christians. And before you know it, and it will be too late, you'll be led astray. Friends, there are wolves everywhere. And I know every church would say the same thing. I understand that. But you see, the Bible is very clear when you study the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He's the one. The chosen one, the anointed one, the Savior that was prophesied before the world began to die on the cross for our sins. And in most churches today, it is taught that that is not enough for our salvation. You need to do something in addition to Christ's blood in order to get to heaven. Whether it's baptism, whether it's good works, even church membership and obedience to the law. And the Bible tells us that the law was our schoolmaster, our guide to lead us to Jesus Christ. The law in the Word of God shows us that we are sinners. And it leads us to repent and turn to Christ for salvation. Because none of us have ever kept the law. None of us ever can. Those are the perfect standards of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's frightening as we go door knocking to hear what people say, what they believe, what they've been taught. Another gospel. Another Jesus. That's what the Bible warned us of. And you will be the next victim, my friend. God says in His very word, you will be immature, you'll be tossed to and fro, you'll be deceived and taken away from the plan and the purpose of God to reach the lost through the local New Testament church. Committed to the church. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I know you expected of me to take this subject seriously. But friends, this is God's plan. This is God's plan. They were marked by healthy growth. All right, let's continue. Acts chapter 2. Now, stay with me this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what is the next word? Fellowship. Now, let me say the obvious. If God didn't think this was important, He wouldn't have put it in here. Here's the pattern and the example for churches throughout the ages. First century Christianity. Fellowship. Fellowship. You see, these believers realized very quickly that they needed a church family. Not just a place to attend, but a place to be part of and a spiritual church family. You see, very quickly, as we will find out in the book of Acts, after there was prayer, there was power. After there was power, Peter preached the gospel, proclaimed the word of God, and there were souls saved. But then came what? Persecution. Persecution. And you see, these believers realized if they are going to survive the Christian life in the world that they lived in, they needed one another. Would you agree? They needed fellowship. They needed encouragement. You see, Saul of Tarsus, before he came the Apostle Paul, was the most terrifying accuser of the church. He was the most terrifying religious Jew, putting Christians to death like the martyr Stephen, putting those who believed in the Lord, throwing them into jail. A shocking time was ahead for this new church. So they knew that if they were going to continue to thrive, to be a living body for Christ, they needed one another. They needed fellowship. That's why God put that in here. Fellowship. Fellowship. Why do you and I so often struggle in the Christian life? Well, it may be because of what we have heard already is not in place. But what about fellowship? What about fellowship? Now, it goes even deeper than that. As we look in Acts chapter 2, this is amazing. Look further down with me in verse number 44. Let's read verse 44 on 2, shall we? Acts chapter 2, verse 44. 1, 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common. What does that mean? Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, for us to understand what was taking place in this local church, we need to understand what happened right here at Pentecost. Now, remember, there were multitudes that came from other nations. Is that right? They'd just been saved. Now, I dare say some of them decided to stick around and to serve God right there. Then there were others who were from Jerusalem that had been born again. And we all understand today what persecution is like, but we have no idea of the persecution these believers faced. Many of them, because they proclaimed their faith through baptism, lost their jobs. Many of them were kicked out of their home because their family, religious Jews, did not want to accept them, even see them again. They lost their homes. They lost their jobs. They lost their families in many cases. And many of them were subject to extreme poverty as a result. And here we see a church family, not just gathering together, but sacrificing for one another. They gave their goods to others. In fact, as we'll see later on in the book of Acts, they sold their homes. They sold their lands, their possessions. Why? Because there was a fellow Christian, and we're talking about Christians right now. We're talking about someone who's a believer in the church, saved, baptized, added to the church, faithful, but suffering because of the lack of want and need. And so these believers banded together and they provided for that one's need. They provided. You see, this wasn't a church. This was a church family. Can you see that this morning? This is a family. You see, it's only for family that you and I would make such a sacrifice. If our children needed something, would you agree you would sacrifice for them? You wouldn't hesitate to give them what they need, to help them in their suffering. What a picture of what a healthy church looks like. And friends, the reality is that without fellowship, God's church will die. God's church will die. You see, God has given us a home, a spiritual home, a family, united together by the blood of Christ. And it's so important, God puts the word in right here, fellowship. And he puts the example for us. And this is not something that comes naturally. It comes supernaturally, but we need to work at it. Sacrifice is a choice. Sacrifice is a choice. Sacrifice is an issue of the heart. Because of our love for Christ, we ought also to what? Love one another. But it's a choice. You know, sometimes we need to, let's be honest, make some more effort to sacrifice our time. How can we fellowship if we're not together? I know that's obvious. So what does that mean? Well, there's some sacrifice that's needed. We need to sacrificially be here before church starts. I know that means leaving home a little bit earlier. We all struggle in that area. But if we get here earlier, then there's some time for fellowship. And fellowship is sweet. Amen. It's such an encouragement, such a blessing. But then staying after church as well. Fellowshipping with the saints. Encouraging one another. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews to not forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. The author of Hebrews said, don't forsake the church. Don't neglect it when the assembly gets together and not be there. You need to be there. Why? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting. There we see the word again. Exhort. To build up. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God says that we are to come together for exhortation, for encouragement, for fellowship. And that means being here. Not just for the service. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just trying to be realistic. Hope you don't mind me being honest this morning. If you had a weekly engagement with your loved ones and family, once a week, Let's say three times a week, for the sake of illustration, once a week. And you were invited for a meal. How would they feel if you turned up when the meal already began and you left before the meal finished? How would they feel? Would that benefit your relationship with your family, yes or no? Or would that harm it? They would be insulted. Okay. You said that, not me. We would not think of doing that. But what about the church? What about the fellowship? What about God's people? Fellowshipping together. And we don't meet daily, so we need to put more effort in to the time that God gives us to meet together, to come earlier, to stay later. Look, if the Lord's Day is not the Lord's Day, then what is it? Amen? What is it? Fellowship. And God says, you need it. I need it. As you see the day approaching, as we see the coming of Christ approaching, beloved, the day is growing darker and darker. And just like these persecuted believers knew they needed one another, we do too. We need to be willing to come and to serve one another and to encourage one another, to praise God for his blessings, to bear ye one another's burdens. Is that right? To rejoice with them that rejoice, to weep with them that weep. And we cannot do that if we are not committed to the local assembly. That family, that spirit of family and fellowship will never prosper and grow if we are not committed to God's local church, saved, baptized, added to the church. Some of you might be thinking, hey, I'd like a handout. That's not the picture we're given here. You see, when you love someone, you'll give freely without even thinking. How can you be loved if you don't show yourself friendly? How can you be loved if you don't make yourself known? I hope you understand what God is saying here. A healthy, living, vibrant church is blessed of God. This is what this church is. Here in Acts chapter 2. This is what God wants us to be. Let's work harder, church family, in this area. Amen? Let's work harder at loving one another, forgiving one another, and spending time together. How well do we know one another? Well, if you want some friends, the Bible says you need to show yourself friendly first. It doesn't just come your way. You show yourself friendly first, and you won't have any problems having friends. And then suddenly you've got someone who'll pray for you. Suddenly you've got someone who'll put their arms around you and encourage you. Hey, a church family. What a precious thing in the dark day in which we live. A church family. They grew because they were family. They grew in fellowship, as we see. Notice in the Word of God, Acts chapter 2. They grew by remembering Christ. Now, I won't spend long here, but the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. You see, this was the central focus of the local church. The Lord's table. The breaking of bread. They gathered around the Lord's table in remembrance of the Lord's Jesus Christ. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they did, they remembered and acknowledged and celebrated their common ground. What Christ has done on the cross. He suffered and died. That's what the broken unleavened bread pictures. Then there's the pure grape juice that represents his holy blood that is shed for our sins. Would you agree? This is the focus of every church. This must be the focus of every church. And so now, here we find a church keeping the main thing, the main thing. The Lord said, this do ye in remembrance of me. And brethren, beloved, as a church, this needs to be the center of our church. Jesus Christ is our focus. And if you and I avoid the times that we get together for the Lord's table, we're going to lose our focus. And a Christian and a church that loses its focus is in deep spiritual trouble. Brethren, we need to be here for the Lord's table. We need to be here when we gather together to remember Christ's death, his burial and his resurrection for our sins. The Lord's table is not a optional extra for the believer. It is a privilege. It is a priority. It was a priority for this church. A church that's alive, has a healthy body, and displays healthy growth, would you agree? And the healthy growth of a church is displayed when God's people are serious about remembering Christ in the way that He ordained. Now, I know this is getting heavy. Notice verse 42. And in breaking of bread and in, what's the last word? Prayers. Now, we really don't like this. And again, God put this in here for us. Prayer. Prayer. A healthy church has been growing right here. Under the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship. Breaking of bread. And in prayer. God says we need to pray as a church. And in the book of Acts, we see that cycle repeated all over again. There is prayer. And then comes power and proclamation of the gospel. Souls are saved. Then comes persecution, yes, but then comes another prayer meeting. And suddenly, Peter is delivered from prison. Suddenly, more souls are saved. Brethren, we can't expect God to bless our church if we are not willing to get together to pray. If we're not willing to entrust God with what only He can do, that means we're doing God's work in our own strength, and God will not bless self-effort. He will resist the proud, but He'll give grace unto the humble who understands the practice of kneology. What's kneology? Getting on your knees and praying. Amen? Praying. Now, we don't like this, but is it any wonder that in 2017, churches have bigger buildings, listen carefully, they have more programs, they have flashier material, they have websites, they had every kind of technological advancement under the sun, but there is one grave need lacking. And that is the power of God. And that is what this local New Testament church displayed. They did not have a fancy building. They did not have a projector screen. But what they had was the filling of the Holy Spirit of God and God's blessing upon the church. Why? Because they simply believed God and were obedient to His word. Prayer. Prayer. Beloved, where are you on Wednesday night at prayer meeting? Now, that's just scratching the surface. These believers got together to pray at other times. They prayed with one another. Prayer became a time of fellowshipping with one another, yes, but also with the Lord and encouraging one another in prayer. Prayer is vital to the church. Prayer is essential for the health of the church. If we were to put a temperature gauge up that would display the health and the living temperature of the church, do you know what the top would say? You know what word would be at the top? The prayer meeting. That's what it would say. How many are at the prayer meeting? How many are willing to sacrifice to come to pray? You see, the spiritual temperature of the church is not gauged by Sunday morning. You can have a lot of bodies in a building, but the word of God is very clear. Prayer. Prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. So here we have a growing church. A healthy body, saved, baptized, added to the church. That's God's plan. Healthy growth in the word, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And ought we to be surprised that after seeing this church is alive, we witness healthy results? Look, if a body is healthy and if it is growing, would you agree there ought to be healthy results? There ought to be some action. There ought to be some outflow. There ought to be some reproduction, if you will. And that's what we see exactly taking place, lastly, here in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, thank you for your patience. We're wrapping up. Notice they are marked by healthy results. Verse number 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Notice the Bible tells us that they were in fear of God. Those who did not believe in God were in fear and trembling. But those who had received Christ as Saviour were in awe of God. That's what the word fear here means. To be in awe and wonder and reverence the holiness of God, that God would choose to do such great works among them. You see, the apostles were performing miracles and signs for the glory of God. And they were in awe at the miraculous work that God was doing among them. Now, for us today, we don't have any apostles. God does not give us the power of performing signs and
physical miracles. But, don't ever take away from the fact that God is still in the miracle working business. Amen. Through His local New Testament church. God is still, and you can say amen, in the miracle business of saving souls. Amen. God is still in the miracle business of reviving the Christian. Amen. God is still in the miracle work of restoring marriages. You can say amen. God is still in the miracle business of strengthening homes. God is still in the miracle business of using the local church to support the efforts of worldwide evangelism. Amen? The Great Commission. God is still miraculously at work in this church and in His churches, and this church was experiencing the miraculous work of God, because that's what results from a healthy body of believers. God will bless. He'll do what we cannot do. He just wants us to be faithful. We want better things and better ways. God is looking for better churches. That's what He's looking for. He's not looking for a 21st century church. He's looking for a first century church. That's what He's looking for. That's whom He will bless. And God has blessed Coastline Baptist Church. Let me encourage you. If you are following the path of God, keep going. If there are some things that need to be strengthened, strengthen the things that remain. That's what the Lord said to the church in Sardis. Strengthen them. Okay, you know what God wants you to do? Excellent. Praise God. Do it. Membership. Baptism. Church. Being in church. Amen. When the doors are open. Coming to prayer meeting. Okay, these are not impossible things. These are God's ABCs of Christianity. And if we would simply grow in righteousness and seek after righteousness as Christians, there will be fruit. Amen. There will be growth. There will be life, as the Bible tells us. And ultimately, what will that life amount to? Other lives being saved. That is what is at cost. Notice as we close in Acts chapter 2. They were praising God. Verse 46. Excuse me. And they continuing daily and with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Get it? They met every day. They worshipped the Lord every day. They fellowshipped every day. They prayed every day. And the people around them in the city noticed something was going on. They had favor, the Bible says, with all men. No doubt they left those homes where they prayed, where they fellowshipped and encouraged one another. And guess what they did? Amen. They went out soul winning. They told others that Jesus saved. And in verse 47, the Bible says, and the Lord added daily such as should be saved. What is a healthy church? God has shown us right here in the Word of God. Coastline Baptist Church, will we be here in 10 years' time? Every church that has ever died has left the pattern of Acts chapter number 2. But that's not God's will. He wants us to strengthen the things that remain. I need to strengthen some things as a Christian myself. What about you? What has God spoken to your heart about? Now, if the issue is eternal life and salvation, don't worry about anything else. The gospel is your greatest need, my friend. If you died today, are you 100% sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and you will be with Him for eternity in a place described in the Bible as heaven? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt your sins have been paid for and you've received Christ on a day that you repented and accepted His payment by faith and asked Him to be your personal Savior? Friend, if you are not sure, that's all that matters this morning. Let me encourage you in a few moments to raise your hand during the invitation. We won't embarrass you. We won't call you up the front. We don't do any funny business here at Coastline. But what I would like to do is just see your hand. No one will be looking around, and I'd just like to speak to you after the service in private. I'd like to show you from the Bible how you can receive God's gift of eternal life. If you are a Christian, then you know what God wants you to do. Let's bow in prayer.